بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So in the previous lesson we were looking at the issue of al-Iman and we noted that Imam al-Tahawi رحمه الله تعالى in his definition of Iman he gave a deficient definition restricting it to the tasdeeq, the belief in the heart, and the affirmation on the tongue. And our discussion started with looking at the nature of words in the language. We said that words can have an original linguistic meaning, they can also have a customary meaning, and they can also have a sharia meaning. So we established that before Islam, words had two usages or two meanings. The first meaning was the original linguistic meaning, and the second meaning was the meaning that's used in customary usage. And so the example that was given was the example of the word dabba, which means a beast. And so we said that the meaning of beast in the language, linguistically speaking, is anything that crawls on its belly or on its feet, whether those feet are two or four or whatever else. This is the meaning of beast. That's the original linguistic meaning. And then we said that, customarily speaking, the word beast was used for anything that is used for riding upon or used for tilling the land. Right? So it takes on a more a narrow meaning than the original linguistic meaning. So we said that this is how it was before Islam came, before the Sharia came. And then when the Sharia came, the Sharia of Islam, then we find that the Sharia of Islam makes use of certain words, and that the meaning intended by those words now take on, either it's more specialized or the Sharia includes other things into the meaning above and beyond the linguistic meaning. And so the example that was given to illustrate that was the word sujood. Sujood. The word sujood, if you look at the linguistic meaning simply means any motion of the body that involves humility. Any motion of the body that involves humility. Al-dhul. Al-dhul. This is the general linguistic meaning. Then we said the customary usage, the customary usage in al-urf, is that it can refer to bowing or prostrating, ruku' or sujood. Right? This is the customary usage. But then in the Sharia, when the Sharia came, the word sujood meant specifically to place the nose and the forehead on the ground. Right? So this was something that we began with to illustrate that words can have linguistic meanings, customary meanings, and the Sharia meanings. Then we moved on to the word Iman itself. The word Iman itself. And we said the word Iman, the original meaning of the word Iman, the linguistic meaning, is from Al-Aman. Al-Aman means safety or security. That's the general linguistic meaning of this word Iman. And now we said that this broad meaning of aman, of safety and security, that it then takes on specific meanings like in customary usage, and from that is at-tasdiq, which means to accept someone as speaking truthful, to accept his speech as being truthful. And an example was given to show how the various meanings would come together. So when an enemy informs you about something and you make tasdeeq of him, you believe that he is speaking the truth, then by believing in what he said, you act in a certain way whereby you become safe from your enemy. So there are a number of things that are going on here. You make the tasdeeq, and implied from it, a consequence of it, is that you act upon the information that you accept as being true, and a consequence of which is that you attain safety, aman. Right? There are three things really going on there: the tasdeeq, then the amal, the action, and then the aman. Right? All of that is part and parcel of the linguistic meaning of the word iman. So then, on top of this, we see that the iman, which is shar'i, the legislative meaning of the word iman, and then in this regard, the sharia has added certain things. So within this iman, we see there is iman in Allah, belief in Allah, angels, books, messengers, and likewise the various actions, the prayer, the salah, the zakat, the various pillars, they are from iman, and many other things which we find in the sharia texts. So that was really laying down the groundwork for what is to follow. And once we made that linguistic discussion clear, that an example was given to illustrate the meaning of tasdeeq, linguistically speaking, which is that we said if someone came and said to you that someone is stealing your car and you just said jazakallah khair and you just sat there, that is not the meaning of tasdeeq. Tasdeeq implies something additional on top of that. It implies action, a consequence of which is safety. So that was really what we discussed in the previous lesson. Most of the discussion in the last lesson was based around that. So we're going to continue today, once we understand all of this, with the next point, which is that Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he gave that definition, that iman is iqrarun and tasdeequn. Iqrarun, which is affirmation on the tongue, and tasdeeq, which is belief in the heart. This means that the actions have been expelled from iman. Actions have been expelled from iman. And when you expel actions from iman, then it means that the number of positions that can be taken. So if you take actions completely out of iman, it means there are a number of positions that you can take. And they are as follows. Either you say that iman is just the belief in the heart, and it is not necessary for you to make iqrar. Right? So in other words, you come to the realization that there is none which has a right to be worshipped. You believe in Allah, you believe in the books, the messengers, whatever. So now you've made tasdeeq. And so in this first view, they say that it's not necessary to express it with the tongue. Your iman is valid just like that. That's one position you can hold. Or you can say that iman is belief in the heart, tasdeeq in the heart, and then there must be, it is binding that you make the iqrar, the affirmation of the tongue. Right? So in other words, whether you include the affirmation of the tongue or not, the common thing is that they have expelled actions from iman. Right? That's the key thing that we're looking at. Now, why have they held this view? We explained that in the previous lesson. It was a shubha, a doubt in relation to the Khawarij, who expelled believers on account of major sins from iman. But once that shubha came in, they obviously had to look into the sharia texts. They looked into the sharia texts and to see, you know, where can they find evidence for their claim that actions are not from iman. So this will tie in our discussion from the previous week, which is that we want to understand the mistakes in how they find evidence for their particular statement. Right? Now, before we explain that, there's a point that we should make here, which is, if you look in the matters of fiqh, if you look in the matters of fiqh, and you look at all of the schools of thought, Hanafis, Malikis, Shafi'is, Hanbalis. There's a principle that every one of them are agreed upon in the matters of fiqh, which is that if we come across a word in the Quran or the Sunnah, and we have an option or we have a choice where that word could be referring to the linguistic meaning, or it could be referring to the customary meaning, or it could refer to the Sharia meaning. How do we take that word? What sense do we take that word in? And all of them are agreed that we take the word upon the in general, that we take the word upon the Shari meaning. And an example is given here, like if we find the verses that mention the verses of sujood, of tilawa, the verses of recitation, and if a person was walking and he came across, he was reciting the Quran and he read a verse in relation to the verses of prostration, then would it be sufficient for him just to bow, or would he have to prostrate and make sujood? In other words, this now is either the customary meaning, the urfi meaning of the word sujood, which means ruku or sujood, or is it the shari meaning which is intended? Right now, in all the various madhahib, because they accept this principle that the shari words, we take them upon the shari meanings where those meanings have been clearly defined. So all of them would say no, he would have to make actual sujood. Now the reason why we give this example is to show how, despite agreeing upon this principle when it comes to matters of fiqh, we find that in the issue of iman, we find that, for example, the Hanafis, who are murji'a, today the Hanafi Maturidis, they are murji'a, they take actions outside the fold of iman, So how come they don't apply this principle when it comes to the issue of iman itself? When iman itself, the word iman has been defined in the Sharia sense, in the Quran, in the Sunnah, how come they don't take that shari'i meaning, whereas in the rulings of the Sharia, in the ahkam, in the matters of fiqh, they have a principle that the shari'i meaning must be taken. So it's just a point that's being indicated to show the inconsistency of some of these groups, in particular the Maturidis, Hanafis, who are upon this viewpoint. Now, this obviously means that when they go to the Quran, when they go to the Sunnah, they must be taking certain evidences that they think is supporting their view, when these evidences are not supporting their view. So we'll mention one most famous evidence that they have, and it is the evidence that everyone is familiar with. We read it commonly in the Quran. It is the statement of Allah, or the various verses in the Quran, which are as follows. When Allah says, "Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat." Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Because we see here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, on the surface it appears that Allah has distinguished between iman and actions. Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. So this is the strongest of their evidences that they bring to show that actions are other than iman. Because we see here that the particle wa, the wa is a conjunction. And, right, in Arabic we say ataf, it means to annex or to add something to something else. So alladhina amanu, those who believe, wa, and those who do righteous deeds. So what they say is that in the Arabic language, when the word wa is used, when you make this annexation, when you add a word to another word through the use of this particle, this conjunction, which is wa, or in English it is and, the particle and, then this indicates at-taghayur. At-taghayur means a difference, that the two things are different, that there's a separation and distinction between the two things. And so they say that because Allah has distinguished between these two things, it indicates that therefore action can not be from iman. This really is the strongest, most apparent evidence that they use in order to claim actions not from iman, and that's in addition to them not understanding the correct linguistic meaning of the word iman as well. Right? So remember, the mistake that they fall into is at every level. The mistake is at the level of the language. It's at the level of the language. And likewise, the mistake is at the level of them seeking evidence from the texts for their particular viewpoint. Right? So as it comes to making mistakes in finding evidence, that obviously is based upon a misunderstanding of the linguistic meaning of the word iman. So, how do we answer this? How do we answer this shubha? The answer to this is that in the Arabic language, when the word or the particle or the conjunction wa is used, then it means at-taghayur, at-taghayur, which means that which is separate and different. When two things are separate and different, then this difference can be in two different ways. There are two ways that something can be different to something else. Number one, in the actual physical essence, in terms of the that of a thing, the physical essence of the thing. And the second way is in terms of the sifat, in terms of the attributes of a thing. Right? So let's get this right. That when we speak of at-taghayur, where we see a difference between or within something, it can be in terms of two separate essences, or it can be in terms of the attributes of an essence. The best way is to give examples. These are two ways. And the third way, there's actually three ways. The third way is that when the particle wa is used, it can mean to separate the general from the specific, the am from the khas, or to separate the part from the whole. The part from the whole. So inshallah, don't worry, we'll explain with examples of each of these three things. But just to explain again, that the particle wa, when it is used in Arabic, which means and, it can refer to three different things. Number one, at-taghayur, separation, variance in terms of physical essences. Number two, in terms of the attributes of a thing. The attribute, the sifat of a thing. At-taghayur fi sifat. And the third way is to distinguish between the general and the specific, or the part from the whole. The part from the whole. Now let's give some examples to illustrate. If I said, for example, Dakhala Muhammadun wa Khalidun, Dakhala Muhammadun wa Khalidun, that Muhammad and Khalid, they entered. So, right, so I've used the wa, particle wa, Dakhala Muhammadun wa Khalidun. Here, the particle wa and is used to distinguish between two separate people. Muhammad is other than Khalid. This is what we mean by at-taghayur. We mean here at-taghayur fi al-dhawat, right? In the actual essences. The second example is when we say, for example, we have there's a sword. A person says in Arabic, "Indi muhannadun wa sarimun wa husamun." These are three words, each of which actually describe a sword. Right? They're all describing the same sword. The first one, Muhannad, it means it is made in India. Muhannad means it is made in India. The second one, Sarimun, this means that it is a well-known, famous type of sword. And Husamun, it means it is a lethal sword, that if it falls upon you, you will die. Right? Now, all of these three descriptions, we see that they've been joined by the particle wa, muhannadun, wa sarimun, wa husamun. But are they referring to three separate beings or three separate entities? And the answer is no. they're referring to three different attributes of the same thing. Right? This is a second way in which the particle wa can be used. Now, the third, in fact, we can give another example from the Quran of the second usage. If we look in the Quran, we see Allah says in Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th surah, verse number 1, Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitabi wa Qur'anim Mubin. Allah says, Alif Lam Ra, those are the verses of the book and a plain, clear Qur'an. So he mentioned the book, Al-Kitab wa Qur'anim Mubin. Al-Kitab wa Qur'anim Mubin. So he mentioned the book and he mentioned the Qur'an. Now, are the Qur'an and the Kitab, are they two separate things? No, they are the same thing. The Qur'an is the Kitab and the Kitab is the Qur'an. But the particle wa was used. Al-Kitab wa Qur'anim Mubin. And this is from the angle of describing two different descriptions of the Qur'an. The Qur'an is in written form, and it is something that is also recited as well. And it is the Qur'an in both ways. The Qur'an, because the words of the Qur'an that are written, and likewise the words which are spoken, the actual words, these are it is all the Qur'an. All of it is the Qur'an. So we see it is a single thing, but the attribute has, different attribute has been mentioned. Now, the third usage where we said the general and the specific are the part of the whole, an example of this is in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 98. Allah says, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Allah says here, whoever is an enemy to Allah, whoever is an enemy to Allah, and to his angels, and to his messengers, and to Jibreel, and to Mikal, then indeed Allah is an enemy to the kafirin, to the disbelievers. If we look at this verse, we see first of all that we know that the angels, whoever is an enemy to Allah and to his angels, the angels are a creation from the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Allah says, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَالرُّسُلِهِ. Whoever is an enemy to his angels and his messengers. The word messengers can include messengers from the men and messengers from the angels. Right? So straight away we see that the part and the whole, the general and the specific, right? Because the angels compared to the messengers, the angels are a subset of the messengers. Because the messengers, as we see in another part of the Quran, Allah says, "Allahu yastafi min al malaikati rusulan wa min al nas," that Allah chooses from the angels and from the men messengers. That shows that messengers are from the angels and the men. So therefore, in that first verse that we are discussing in Surah Al-Baqarah, that verse we see Allah mentions the angels wa rusulihi and the messengers. So here is the am, the general, which is the messengers, and the specific, which is the angels. Or the whole, which is the messengers, and the part, which are the angels. Right? So we see an illustration of that right here. Because it would be false to say, it would be incorrect to say that angels cannot be messengers, right? Upon the argument of those who claim that iman and actions are separate. Actions cannot be from iman, right? So in a similar way, we know that this is incorrect because the angels are from the messengers, right? They can be from amongst the messengers. Then we see that in the very next few words, Allah says, وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ. وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ. Jibreel and Mikal are two of the angels. But the angels have already been mentioned earlier in the verse. Because Allah says, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ. So now, does this mean that Jibreel and Mikal are not from the angels? Upon that same argument, if you say, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, That means the salihat, the righteous actions, are other than iman. Right? So that would be incorrect, because again we see that the particle wa, the conjunction wa, it can be used to refer to the part and the whole, and to distinguish the part from the whole, and to distinguish the specific from the general. And we see that illustrated in two different ways in this same verse, in two different ways. Angels and messengers, because angels are from the messengers, and Jibril and Mikal, they are from amongst the angels. And in fact, Jibril is from amongst the Rusul as well, because Jibril is amongst the Rusul. So we have, on three different levels, we see that this principle is being implemented right in this very verse. The angels as a whole are from the messengers, right? So we have part and the whole, or the specific and the general. Then we have Jibril and Mikal, two angels. They are mentioned separately. They are from the angels. So we have the part and the whole, or the specific and the whole. And then Jibril is from the Rusul. Jibril is from is a specific one from amongst the messengers, amongst the angels. So Jibril and Rusul, it is part of the whole, or the specific and the general. So in three different ways, we see the usage of the particle wa in that way. So therefore, all of this, what does it show? It shows that this ayah, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, then it is from the angle of separating the part from the whole, or the specific from the general. And this is what we see in the Quran, that when we read the verses in the Quran, we see that this is what we frequently find. An example of this is Surah Al-Asr, وَالْأَصَرْ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. We see the principle implemented here as well. Except those who believe, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Now we see that iman is mentioned in a general sense. Then وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, it is part of the iman that has been mentioned already. Right? And then we see وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, who enjoin the good, who mutually enjoin the good. And that is part of what came before. It is from salihat, and it is also from iman, the first one. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they enjoin with patience. Again, that is from the salihat, which is also from the iman. So we see that principle being implemented here, again, on a number of different levels. We see the part and the whole, the general and the specific, and there's an overlap in two different ways. So having sabr, mutually enjoining sabr, is from righteous actions, which are from iman. And likewise, enjoining the truth, mutually enjoining the truth, that is from the righteous actions, which is from iman. And so when you look at all of the verses in the Quran, you will be able to identify many examples of this actually taking place. So therefore, the additional point here is that what is the meaning of when something specific is singled out from the whole? Right, so we have the whole and something specific is singled out. Let's go back to the verse that we were looking at before about the angels, about Jibril and Mikal. The reason why the specific is singled out, or the part from the whole, is from the angle of, is to show its excellence and its sharf, its nobility. So here we see that Jibril and Mikal are mentioned specifically. It's to show their nobility. And the specific has been mentioned, and the part from the whole, in order to indicate that this has a special place, has a nobility. And the same thing applies to the issue of actions. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Actions have a certain nobility, they have a sharf, a nobility as it relates to iman. So an example of this in normal usage would be if you say, if a person was to say in Arabic, جَاءَنِي الْمَشَايِخ وَالشَّيْخ عَبْدُ الْعَزِيزِ. جاءني المشايخ والشيخ عبد العزيز. You say, for example, that the sheikhs came to me and Sheikh Abdul Aziz. Now Sheikh Abdul Aziz is from amongst the sheikhs, but you've specified him out, you've singled him out and separated him out in order to show his nobility. Right? So you've mentioned the part from the whole and the specific from the general, and that is to indicate the, you know, the superiority or the nobility, or that one of them has precedence over the rest that make up the whole. So this is the answer to this argument or this evidence which is used by the various groups of the Murji'ah, in particular the Murji'atul Fuqaha, from the Maturidis, the Hanafis, a similar thing from the Ash'aris. So that's the first point that should be mentioned. Now we go back to the definition of Iman, which is Iman is, according to Tahawi, Iman is Iqrarun bil lisan wa tasdeekun bil jinan. It is belief of the heart and affirmation of the tongue. Then this is incorrect, this is deficient. Rather, the correct definition of Iman with the people of Hadith, with the people of Sunnah, is that Iman is five things. Iman comprises five things. It is Al-Imanu Qawlun wa Amalun. In fact, at this stage, it is in a summary sense, we can say it is two things. It is qawlun wa amalun. It is speech and action. This is where we start with at the starting point. It is qawlun wa amalun. That's what all of the Salaf said. Qawlun wa amalun, in the most basic, simplest sense. And some other scholars said qawlun wa amalun wa niyyah. Qawlun wa amalun wa niyyah. It is speech and action and intention. And all they wanted to show here is that when a person brings speech and action, he must be sincere in what he is, you know, what he's believing and what he is professing. But in any way, the qawlun wa amalun is the general statement that we see from all of the Salaf. And what they mean by qawlun wa amalun is that they mean the following. They mean that Iman is belief in the heart, i'tiqadun bil qalb, wa qawlun bil lisan, the speech of the tongue, wa amalun bil jawarih, wal arkan, acting with the limbs upon the pillars. Acting with the limbs upon the pillars. يَزِيدُ بِطَاعَةِ الرَّحْمَانِ وَيَنْقُصُ بِطَاعَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ. That it increases with obedience to Ar-Rahman and it decreases with obedience to Ash-Shaytan. So here we have five things. There are five things which are mentioned. Belief in the heart, speech of the tongue, acting upon the limbs. It increases with obedience to Ar-Rahman, decreases with obedience to Ash-Shaytan. So what does this show us? This shows that the definition of Al-Tahawi is deficient. He only mentions two things. Actions are removed from the definition of Iman. And likewise, Iman increasing and decreasing, which is another fundamental principle of Ahlul Sunnah. This is also absent from the explanation or from the creed of Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, when we look in the Sharia texts, we see that there are certain verses that clearly mention affairs of belief. Affairs of belief that a person believes in the heart. And we looked at some of these before when we looked at those verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions belief in Allah, the angels, the books, the messengers, and likewise the last day. There are a number of verses which mention the four or five pillars of Iman, from them in Surah Al-Baqarah, towards the very end of Surah Al-Baqarah, and the ayah that relates to Bir. What is Bir? Bir is not that you turn your face here, you know, east to the west, but it is to believe in Allah and the angels and so forth. So those verses we looked at, those verses speak of belief. And what is intended by those verses is that this is a belief which leads to action. That the action It stems from that belief. And it is not possible to conceive of the two being separated. Right? Such a belief in Allah, His messengers, His books, the angels, the last day, and action are tied. You cannot conceive of one being separated from the other. And that's why in the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah that we looked at previously, when Allah described the prayer of the believers, this is when the Qibla was changed from Jerusalem to Mecca. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانُكُمْ. Allah would never be one who would cause your faith to be wasted. And He's referring specifically to that salah. So the salah, the prayer, is included, is labeled as iman. It is described as iman. So all of these verses, when we look at, if we take all of the verses in the Quran that speak about iman, and you know the different ways in which actions are incorporated within that iman, we see that in the Sharia it is impossible for action to be separated from iman. It is simply not possible. And that's why when we go back to the linguistic discussion of the word iman, when we looked in our previous lesson, we again said that even from the linguistic point of view, it is not possible for you to separate action from iman, even in the linguistic sense. And this is really how we perceive the whole topic of iman. And another parable, an example, is often given by some of the scholars like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, that again, iman, belief in action, is like the roots. And you know you have the a plant, and you have the part which is beneath the soil, and you have the part which is above the soil. And it is impossible for you to have one without the other. Now, if you cannot have that which you see above the soil and then conceive of nothing being underneath, that's impossible. And likewise, you can't conceive of there being roots in the soil. And all, you know, we have the soil is providing the nutrients, and you have the rain and whatever. And then it's impossible, you have the sunlight as well, it's impossible for the seed not to sprout and to produce that which we see above the surface of the soil. Simply not possible. And so the two, iman and actions, when we look in all of the evidences of the Sharia, we see that they are fundamentally tied and connected in a way that they simply cannot be separated from each other. So then we have a hadith from the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, which clearly explain and expand upon this meaning as well. Now, all of you understand, you know the hadith, the famous hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, in which he's asked about Islam and Iman. When he was asked about Islam, he said the testimony, La ilaha illallah, then he mentioned the salah, the sawm, the zakah, the hajj. All of these things, what are they? They are outward things. They are outward apparent things. These are things that we see from a person outwardly. So he explained Islam with what is outward. Then he was asked about Iman. And the Messenger said, it is to believe in Allah, the angels, the books, the messengers, the last day, and Al-Qadr. Right? So here he explained Iman with what is inward. Right? So this is very clear in the hadith of Jibreel. But then we have another famous hadith in this topic of Iman. And this hadith is known as the hadith of the delegation of Abdul Qais. This is a famous hadith in the whole topic of Iman. And in this hadith, there was a delegation who came to Medina, and the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he commanded them, he said, I command you with Iman in Allah alone. He said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْإِمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. Then he said, do you know what is Iman in Allah alone? Now listen carefully to what he said. He said, Iman in Allah is, he mentioned the pillars of Iman, and then he added on top of that, that you give the one-fifth of the booty. And so he in one hadith he explained that you establish the prayer, give the zakah. So he mentioned all the pillars of Islam, not Iman. Right? So you understand what we're saying here. In the hadith of Jibreel, he explained Islam with the well-known pillars of Islam, which are outward. With Iman, he explained the well-known pillars of Iman, which are inward. Here in this hadith, he is explaining Iman, but he explained them with the outward pillars, right? Salah, Zakah, and so on and so forth. So, this is in fact a hadith that is used by Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book, Kitabul Iman, the lengthy book, Kitabul Iman, volume 7 in Majmul Fatawa, that this is one of the hadith he brings to show that Iman, that action is from Iman. Action is Iman as well. Right, by using this particular hadith. And then we have another hadith from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which he says that faith is 70 odd branches. Faith is 70 odd branches. أعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماتة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. Iman is 70 odd branches, the highest of which is the saying لا إله إلا الله, the lowest of which is removing something harmful from the floor. And modesty is a branch of Iman. So we see that in this hadith, that Iman is qawlun, it is speech, the saying of La ilaha illallah. It is action, which is removing something harmful from the floor. And it is action in the heart as well. Because al-haya, which is modesty, is an action of the heart. So we see in this hadith that the messenger, he combined all things which enter into Iman. This is why this hadith is a famous hadith in this topic. Why? Because belief is comprised in this hadith. Why? La ilaha illallah. You have to believe, you have to make tasdeeq of La ilaha illallah. So belief is there. Then qawl, you have to outwardly express La ilaha illallah, which is what is mentioned there. Then there's the action of the heart, amalul qalb. Then there's the action of the jawarih, the action of the limbs. And so, this now establishes from the Sharia evidences that Iman and action are fundamentally tied, they cannot be separated, and action is from Iman. And then so remember, we're elaborating upon the definition. Iman is belief, speech, and action, it increases and decreases, five things. Now the second thing is that Iman increasing and decreasing. So the evidence for that in the Quran is very clear. Allah says in Surah Al-Anfal, the second verse of Surah 8, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. When His verses are recited to them, it increases them in Iman. And likewise Allah says, لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ, that they may increase in their faith on top of their faith. Surah Al-Fath, Surah 48, verse number 4. And likewise Allah says, زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ, increases them in guidance and gives to them their piety. Surah Muhammad, Surah 47, verse number 17. This is just a sample. There are many other verses as well that explain the increase and the decrease of faith. And then we have statements of some of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. They said, when we make tasbih of Allah and we make hamd of Him, we make praise of Him and we remember Him, this is the increase of Iman. And when we are heedless of Him, when we don't remember Him, when we are heedless of Him, this is its nuqsan, this is its decrease. Right? So Sahaba explained the increase and decrease of Iman in a practical sense. That every time we bring something of dhikr, something of amal, that is an increase in the Iman. And every time that we neglect or fall short or are heedless, that is the deficiency and decrease in the Iman. So from this now we've explained the five elements, the five aspects of the belief of Ahlul Sunnah with respect to Iman. Qawlun bil lisan, وَاِعْتِقَادٌ بِالْجَنَانِ وَعَمَلٌ بِالْأَرْكَانِ, belief in the heart, speech in the tongue, action of the limbs. It increases with obedience to Allah, decreases with obedience to shaitan. And for all of these five elements, we've shown you clearly proofs from the Quran, from the Sunnah. For each of these five elements, we've been through the evidences from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And likewise, one quick example from the statements of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. So now that all of this is clear and apparent, then this leads us to a number of additional issues that we will discuss, or that we can discuss. And the first of those issues is, what are all the various opinions and sects that the sects of the Muslims that they hold towards the issue or the topic of Iman? And this is upon our understanding that we said that the understanding of Iman, it brings together five things: the speech of the tongue, action of the heart and limbs, the belief of the heart and action of the heart and limbs, increase of this Iman and decrease of this Iman. Then there are five different sayings, five different opinions. And because that discussion will take quite a while, what we'll do is we'll leave it for the next lesson, inshallah ta'ala. So we'll conclude our lesson here today with this much, inshallah ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.